Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the third installment of the Babylon Zoom meetings. We want to welcome all of our parents of 7th through 12th graders here with us tonight. We have a great night planned for you. We're happy that many of you have been able to join us and spend the next couple of hours with us. We have a great team of professionals joining us tonight to hopefully answer all of the detailed questions and answers that you're looking for. By way of introduction, my name is Linda Rossi. I'm the superintendent of the school district. And with us tonight, I'd like to do some formal welcomes. We have Dr. Peter Daly, our deputy superintendent. Welcome, Dr. Daly.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thanks for being with our parents tonight. We also have our assistant superintendent for curriculum instruction, Mr. Daniel D'Amico.
Good evening, everybody.
Let's give a warm welcome to Principal Al Cerrone, who is joining us tonight. Thank you, Mr. Cerrone, and for all your hard work over the last number of months.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Building. Also with us is our Director of Athletics, Mr. Michael DeJoseph. Welcome, Mr. DeJoseph.
Hey, everybody.
Also, our Director of Special Education and Services, Mrs. Lisa Consolo. Welcome, Mrs. Consolo.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone.
So this is our team tonight, and we have a great night for everybody. Hopefully we'll be able to spend some good time with you, take you through a short agenda, which talks about what the in-person entrance to school will look like at our junior senior high school this September, as well as a look into the virtual only option. Mr. Cerrone and his team have been working very, very hard these last number of months, preparing for a very, very smooth opening for our students. With that being said, I'd like to talk a little bit about tonight's agenda. Mr. D'Amico, are you able to share that agenda? Thank you. So our goal tonight will be to run through this agenda as quickly as possible, because we do know that a lot of people want to get to questions and answers. And I often say the third time's a charm. This is our third night doing this. We're going to be opening it up to questions on the floor for those of you who are tuning in with us tonight. So if we could just go to the second slide, Mr. D'Amico, please. Thank you. Okay. So, with that being said, tonight we're going to give you a snapshot into what September will look like, whether you are choosing the in-person option for your child or the virtual option. Let me just preface it by saying, you know, we could not have done this without all of our wonderful parents as partners. It's always a pleasure working with all of you, our you know, incoming seventh grade students and their parents. We welcome you to Babylon Junior Senior High School, and we welcome all returning students back with us as well as families. We couldn't have done it without you. You have been asking outstanding questions over the last number of weeks. We've been posting those to our website, putting those FAQs up, putting, you know, details about our plan up. So, you know, please do look at the website if you have any questions. Know that our doors are always opened to answer any questions that you might continue to have even after tonight. So without much further ado, we are going to take a look and begin. We're going to start talking about, you know, when is the first day of school? I actually have a formal letter going out to all families next week detailing. We're pushing the official full day of school start date back by a couple of days. Ahead of a couple of days. We're going to actually begin on Thursday, September 10th. The original date was Tuesday, September 8th, but the first full day of instruction, whether your child is in person or your child is virtual, will be Thursday, September 10th. With that being said, the traditional instructional day for students will stay unchanged, and that will be whether your child is virtual or your child is in our in-person programs. Obviously, there is an AM session and a PM session, but combining those two, the instructional day for our teachers will be from 7:40 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Doors will open for the AM session students at 7:15 a.m. With that being said, I'm so happy that we have Mr. Cerrone here with us tonight, because he, as I mentioned, and his team have been working very hard over these last number of weeks and months in preparing for the in-person setting, as well as the possibility of the virtual setting, which I know some of you might be choosing. And just keep in mind that commitment is due by 5 o'clock tomorrow night. So Mr. Cerone, I'm going to pass the screen over to you. And you can spend some time with our parents tonight, walking them through what the in-person day might look like.
Sounds good. Thank you. Okay, so our schedule went out the other day. We have an AM and PM model for our students, and we have most hybrid models in the secondary. There's an AB, an AA, and a BB model, and we went with the AM PM model. Most principals and most schools that I've talked to wish they could pull off the AM PM model, but because of busing and other constraints, they can't. So our model, our AM model would, so day one would be periods 1 through 4. We took the 9-period day, turned it into an 8-day period. And in that 8-period day, we have a roughly 1-hour lunch break for everyone. So day one is periods 1, 2, 3, and 4. The AM group comes from 7:40 to 10:35, and the PM group comes from 11:35 to 2:30. They will just handle that day, those four subject areas. So if you're the AM and you're going home at night, you're only worrying about those four subjects that you have to work on in the PM. The PM group only worries about that group of classes in the morning. It lets you focus more like college, lets you really focus in on what you have to do. So our students will arrive, school starts at 7:40. We will open up the doors at the East Gym at 7:15. All students will arrive, come through the East Gym. The west side of the East Gym will be grades 7, 8, and 9. And the east side, which will all be labeled, there'll be security guard, aides, myself outside and in the gym helping them when they come in. There's roughly 6 lines on both sides, so 12 lines. We can get more than 8 students in each line inside the gym. So we can roughly, if we had to just stop everything where they were and they just played freeze tag, there'd be over 120 students in the gym at one time, but they'd be moving. They move past a temperature check. The temperature check reads high. They're asked to go to the right side or the east side of the gym, where they'll meet Mrs. McHugh, our school nurse. She'll talk to them, calm them down a little bit, find out what's going on. And then after a little bit, she'll temperature check them if they are running a temperature. Their parents will be, parent or guardian will be called, and they'll be brought to another area where they wait for pickup. The student gets through, they're doing fine, they go into the hallway, they're here early, 7:15, 7:20, they're here, class doesn't start till 7:40. The first group of students can go in the West Gym. There'll be over 100 desks in the West Gym. They're all 6-foot social distancing. They can hang out in the West Gym, do some work, prepare if they want, make sure their computer is up and charged with them for the day. The next group, if we have that many kids coming that early, the next group will have desks also in the junior high and senior high cafeteria. And then the final rollover place for early arrivals would be Row Hall. And between all four places, we could handle well over 400 students. So I don't think that will be a problem. I think the West Gym will probably be sufficient. Students should be walking through the East Gym by 7:35. We want them in the classroom by 7:40 to start. They should also have their ID. Their ID should be on a lanyard. If they need lanyards, we'll get them. I would also recommend taking a photo of their ID and keeping it on your phone. We don't want anyone touching anything. We don't even want keyboards or anything in the morning. We want a quick entrance to the school. We just want to make sure we can identify them as Babylon students. Once they arrive in the building, there are markers, every paw prints, every 6 feet. There is tape going down the middle of the hallway separating directions left and right side. And students are going to be asked to, of course, have your mask on at all times and to, you know, follow the social distancing rules of staying apart from one another. They get to their classroom, they're going to be happy in their classroom. Most classrooms will be between 10 and 13 students in a class. In the class, we have it set up. So if, let's say there's 13 students, there's actually 26 desks in the room. The desks are labeled A, B, A, B, A, B, going through the row. I think we have some pictures we can show you later. And then the next row is A, B, A, B. So the first period class will be everybody take an A seat. The second period class, or third period with the next class that comes in the room, take a B seat. After A and B are used once, we clean the room. But for the most part, A and B is only going to be used in the AM model, in the AM. For PM, we just clean it at the lunch hour or the break, and we'll be ready for the PM crew. That's how they'll come through school. We will be having people in the hallway, talking to them, redirecting them. There is signage everywhere that talks about social distancing and hand washing and everything else. So again, first period, 7:40 start, and we definitely need people on time to school. I know the traffic can get a little busy out front, but if we have a time frame from 7:15 to 7:35, that's 20 minutes to get. For the most part, those are just the drivers. There's a lot of kids that will take bikes or walk to school. So I don't see us having any problem getting everyone in the building in that amount of time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cerrone. Mr. D'Amico, can you go back to the high school schedule for a moment? Perfect. So Mr. Cerrone, I'm going to take myself through the schedule. I'm going to pretend I'm a student in the AM session. How about that?
Sounds good.
So if I was a student in the AM session, because there's some questions around this on how to read the chart. So the AM students would be assigned to all the orange categories, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And the PM students would be assigned in person wherever you see the black sections, correct?
Correct.
Perfect. So if I'm an AM student, I'm coming in Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays.
That's correct.
For the first AM session. So on Mondays, I'm going to my period one class, then my period two class, my period three class, my period four class, and then I'm going home. Correct. And then when I go home, I have my lunch, I have a snack. And then in the afternoon, I go online again. Now I'm online and I'm doing asynchronous work for my period one class, my period two, my period three, and my period four class. So that afternoon, when I'm at home doing more independent type of work or asynchronous kind of work, I might be watching a video of my teacher, modeling over again, maybe the concept that was taught that prior morning, you know, that same morning to me in person. I might be doing independent homework. Is that correct?
That's correct. So most of the stuff that will be up on Microsoft Teams are videos and different types of lessons that students will actually be able to visualize and see. Mm-hmm. Compared to if you looked at a flip model, they would be doing more stuff with the teachers. Well, you know, some of the stuff that happened from March to June was that the parents felt like they were the teachers. And like, let's take algebra. Many parents hadn't been in the algebra class in 20 years. So now in this format, they might be watching the algebra lesson with their son if they want to, because the teacher is teacher rewind. You can rewind it 14 times until you have it down.
Right. Okay, so that's
when they go back to class, they'll be working with the teacher, doing a lot of assessment on how they did.
Perfect. So getting back to me, if I was the student, I'm in person Mondays in the AM. I go home, I have my break. In the afternoon, I'm online getting reinforcement on the classes I was in person in that morning.
Correct.
You said it could be even a new lesson to prepare me for the next session when I see my teacher again in person, like a flipped model. So that's my Monday. On Tuesday now, I go back in person on Monday, on Tuesday morning, and I go through period 5, period 6, period 7, and period 8, where I am in person with my teachers for that I have for those periods, correct?
Correct.
Go home for lunch, and the same, I'm online in the afternoon on Tuesday, working with my period 5, period 6, period 7, and period 8 curriculums, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Wednesday, this is a virtual learning day for every student in our building, and this will be live synchronous instruction with all of our teachers. So on Wednesdays, I will spend the whole day going through my actual 1 through 8 period schedule with a break in between, seeing my teachers live for instruction for full period sessions, correct?
That's correct. Seeing the other students, you know,
in the other session.
And the PM students, they're in the same class. They're just going at different times. They're actually going to be in the same pods. A lot of times teachers are going to use an AM student and a PM student together in a learning pod, and right, then they'll come together on Wednesday. So
this model actually worked really well for us. We are the envy of a lot of districts able to pull this off. Because we can. We're small enough. We also don't have the transportation issues. But the reason why we chose this model is because 4 times a week, we're able to get every student in for in-person instruction, whether they're assigned to the AM session or the PM session. And what we've built in, we also built in a virtual Wednesday for everybody so we can get the whole entire class together for those social emotional connections, those, you know, connections that classes make with their teacher. And it also gives the kids a terrific way to practice with the virtual format. Because what happens if we ever do fall back to all virtual, the students for 5 days a week would follow the virtual model, correct? The virtual synchronous live model.
It's a very flexible model because, you know, periods 1 through 4, AM and PM, they just half the day of the virtual day. If we go full virtual, we go to that. If we come back to school full time, we go to that schedule.
Right. Their schedules would stay the same. Right. Their schedules would be a 1 through 8 day. So that makes it nice and, you know, clear and easy for the students. One of the other things that we liked about this model, parents, we have so many holidays on Mondays. And when you're talking about, you know, certain districts that have the A, B model, certain students who might be assigned to those, you know, 1 or 2 day a week models could be missing out on a number of, you know, Mondays or Fridays or Thursdays that could be falling on holidays. So this model really is very, very equitable for every student in the building regarding the number of school days that they will be in school. One of the things too, being that the high school is much larger than the elementary and the grade school, we're serving lunch, but we're not having a full service lunch in the cafeteria, where that is another area for exposure. So Mr. Cerrone, can you talk a little bit about lunchtime and how that would work? You know, we are serving meals, but up through, you know, the grab and go window.
You know, I guess by law, we have to serve lunch. We've been serving lunch and some breakfast all from March till now, even all summer for some families. So there would be a way if you want your son or daughter to pick up a lunch to order it, and it would be ready for you when they're leaving in the morning session. And in the afternoon session, they can actually do it either way. They could either take it when they first arrive, or they could take it for the next day when they leave, like you bring mm-hmm. it home with you.
But no eating in the classrooms, obviously.
Correct.
Because yeah, we're wearing masks, yeah. But food, parents, you know, breakfast and lunch will be made available. Our food service team has been terrific. working all summer. They have this down pat now, and that will be a service that we provide to students. Thank you, Mr. Cerrone, for walking them through that schedule, you know, of how the week would go. Again, students will be assigned either the AM session or the PM session. So I'm glad we were able to walk through that a little bit, how that would look. Mr. D'Amico, if you could go back to the second slide of this agenda. Thank you. Nope, one more. Back. There you go. Okay. Actually, you know what I'd like to do? Mr. Saron talked quickly about what the classrooms would look like. I'm sorry to do this to you, Mr. D'Amico. Go to the slides that show the pictures. Parents might want to see. Next one. Perfect. Mr. Saron, we're going to take you through these next slides. If you can describe what parents are seeing here.
Sure. Of course, my screen's blocking some of it. Let me see.
You can move that little tile box.
All right, there we go. All right, so those are the gym doors that we're seeing that are open. So there'll be the left side, or the top picture is 7, 8, and 9. The bottom is 10, 11, 12, say. They come in. The three doors break out to roughly six lanes. Inside the lanes are the paw prints, 6 foot apart, 6 feet apart, and then they'll walk up until the temperature reader. These are some classrooms. You see desks are 6 feet apart. They're A and B, so A on a diagonal to the other A is even more than 6 feet apart. Teachers and students will be assigned the seat when they come in, so they'll know what seat to use. It gives us more time to be able to clean a desk, so you can go through two full classes, can come in the room before we actually have to clean them. With that said, though, I know a lot of parents have called and asked, can my son or daughter bring wipes? Can they use wipes? There will be wipes in every class. So by all means, you know, if that's what you've told your child to do, by all means, they will be doing that. They can spray down. They're not going to be eating in the room. So that's the room. And then the other picture where it says gymnasium, that would be where predominantly most of the students who get picked up, that will be an exit door. So the afternoon, when the AM session is over, they'll be coming out that door on Grove Place to walk out to their car, the car that's picking them up. Walkers, bikers will be going out off of North Carl and off of Railroad Avenue. They'll be dismissed that way, so that they won't come in across with each other. The I wouldn't call them buses, the people that get driven to school and the walkers and bikers.
Mm-hmm. Great. Can we promote to the next slide, please? We have some more photos that we want to share. Okay.
That's kind of the, on the right, the top right, that's the East Gym. You can see the yellow lines. Inside the yellow lines are where the paw prints are going to go. And like I said, there's roughly, I want to say there's either 16 or 14 different lines that are going to be set up where students can stand on. Mm-hmm. That's another classroom with an AB. Those are staircases which are labeled either up or down. There's seven staircases in the building. Four are down and three are up. And again, those are up during passing time, up or down during passing time.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. D'Amico. We could go back to the agenda now. Thanks for explaining that, Mr. Cerrone. Okay. So it gives you parents a little bit of a glimpse of what the classrooms will look like. Clearly, you know, they're not beautified yet. They're not, you know, creatively you know, set up by our teachers who will be back in August to do all of that kind of nice work. But it gives you a glimpse into what, you know, the spaces look like. Mr. Cerrone, could you talk a little bit about storage of personal supplies and lockers?
So we will not be using lockers you know, this year or to start the year while we're during COVID. So students should bring their one-to-one device every day. In that one-to-one device, it should be used for everything. So I have teachers and directors coming in next week, specifically Tuesday is the first day they're coming in to discuss some of this. There's a 7th, 8th, and 9th grade pod and a 10th, 11th, and 12th grade pod, and they're going to work on exactly what you need for supplies. And they're going to cut it down as much as possible, and it's going to be that a student's going to be able to, you know, just carry really their little backpack with their one-to-one device in it, some pens, some pencils, and then whatever other supplies, whether it's you know, whether it's some type of cleaner or wipe, if you want that also. But we're definitely cutting down on that 40-pound backpack. You're not going to see that anymore.
That's great, and that's really smart. And thank you and your staff for doing that. You know, so you're seeing, you know, a lot of the work that went into this, parents, over the last number of weeks and months. We have been, as school districts, you know, really, there's been an emphasis to open schools, as we all know. And we feel lucky here in Babylon because we feel we can do it. We know we can do it with the social distancing mandates that the state has handed down. So we're in a unique position to do this. We feel we can welcome the kids back safely where they're engaged, where they're enthusiastic. Our teachers want to be here. Our leaders want to be here. So that hopefully gives you an understanding of what the in-person program will physically resemble. And obviously everything Mr. Cerrone has gone through today will continue to be communicated in written form to families before opening day on September 10th. So I'm going to pivot now over to Mr. D'Amico, who is going to be explaining a little bit about what the typical day in the 7th through 12th grade virtual only setting would resemble.
Thank you, Mrs. Rossi. You know, I just have to start by saying every time we talk about the AM/PM model, I get more excited. You know, a question was asked last night, and really for all three nights, questions were asked about whether we had considered other models. And the answer to that is yes, we did. We looked at many different models and weighed them out, the pros and cons. And I think for all of us, the AM/PM model just stood out as such a strong instructional model. And I hope our parents are seeing that tonight as we're going through it. I know we have a lot of parents who are educators, and we have a lot of community members who probably hear about different models that are being implemented in other districts. Every model has its pros and cons, you know, and we wouldn't want to judge other models. But this one is just so strong instructionally for all the reasons that we've gone through. There's just such a strong connection for students and teachers. They see each other each day. There's such a strong connection between the face-to-face instruction they're receiving and then the virtual instruction they're receiving later that day. To sit in class with your teacher in the AM or the PM, and then on the other side of that, your virtual side, to be working on that same instruction. It's really like a college block schedule. Like we used to, in college, you took courses maybe on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Maybe you were a Tuesday, Thursday person, but you got to really focus your energies in those content areas. And that's what this model's affording us. There's just so much good about it that I like. Every time we talk about it, I get more excited. We actually, on the virtual side, we really have two virtual models in place. The first one is the one that we see here on Wednesdays. So it's a completely synchronous model. It follows right through the student's typical day. And as Mr. Cerrone pointed out, it really lends itself well. If the district had to go fully virtual, we're ready to go. We've been practicing it on Wednesdays. If we came back, we're ready to go. We've been doing that on Wednesdays. It's just going to happen just as it is on Wednesdays. And there's flexibility with that Wednesday. If, as Mrs. Rossi pointed out, if there's a holiday and we want to slide it over, we can do that. There's a lot that can happen with that. For our students who choose a virtual model from the onset, from day one. We also have an effective piece in place. Now, we're going to know more about it once the survey closes, which is tomorrow. So starting tomorrow and into next week, we'll be evaluating the data that we get from that. And that will affect some of what we do with the virtual model. But here's some of the things that we do know. The virtual model is going to be staffed by our teachers. And if needed, if we need to hire additional staff to help with that, we are doing that. We have a full day of interviews tomorrow. We have postings out. So we will be looking for candidates if needed. The schedule will closely resemble the AM/PM model. So if a student is virtual from the onset, depending on the numbers, it could be that they might all be AM students on the live synchronous side, or we might have some that need to be live and synchronous on the PM side, but it will resemble the model that we have for all students in that it will go 1 to 4 and 1 to 4 again, AM and PM. So a virtual student will receive live synchronous instruction for 4 periods on one day, and then asynchronous virtual instruction for the second part of that day. And it'll follow the same model, 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and so on throughout the week. Our focus will be on providing all of the coursework required for graduation. That has to be our focus. We can't say that we, at least from the onset, we can't say that we will be able to offer all of the coursework that we have in our typical schedule, but we will, of course, focus on offering that coursework that is required for graduation. We also will consider offering courses through third-party vendors. Western Suffolk BOCES offers online coursework. EduSeer is another third-party vendor that offers additional coursework as well. So we will be evaluating that. That's really about it. We're ready to go with that. And again, I think the important piece to note is we're going to know more about our direction when we have more numbers at the end of the survey. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rossi. You are
thank
muted.
You, Mr. D'Amico, thank you. If you can proceed to the next slide, please. Okay. So at this point, we received a number of questions regarding special education and delivery of services. I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. Lisa Consolo, our director in that area, who will be able to answer some of those questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Rossi. So our goal continues to be to provide special education services to the greatest extent possible as we are in these, use the word, it's been used over and over again, unprecedented times. And it isn't easy, but I think that we're doing a really good job in service provision model, especially as we consider the various needs and classes that students are taking. So first, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the related services that we're offering our students and share that in this model, we are able to offer related services in the same manner we always have. If there is a push-in service, we will be able to push in during that period that we typically would have pushed into the English class or the social studies class. That will continue. I've also been working with Mr. Cerrone and the team to identify places where we could do a small group counseling session or a small speech session where students could be socially distanced and we could have the service. And we're going to be able to do that in a safe way. As we look at, I neglected to say this, but as we look at all of our service provision, the first priority is safety and health of the students and our staff. And so, you know, as we look at each of the different types of services, we are looking at number of people in the classroom, the ability to remain socially distant, the ability for students to benefit from the services. And we are able to do that in a manner very similar to how we have done it through the years. One of the biggest differences in special education services at the high school level will be for our students that have greater needs. Our life skills students will be in school. They will be here for full days. Those parents I've had communication with, and they know who they are. Similarly, the guidance from state education and the governor said that we need to look at our students and the students that might need a little bit more support. We should be able to afford more in-person services to and really try to meet their needs. And with that in mind, our special class junior high students, special class 7 and 8 students, are going to be able to be in school for a full day and have a full schedule. One of the questions that I've gotten many times is, what about our Regents-bound senior high students that are receiving their classes in that smaller class size? And that gets a little tricky because in order to meet state regulations, those teachers have to have 2 certifications to teach a class. So a teacher teaching living environment in a small class size has to be certified in both special education and in biology, living environment. That being said, it's not possible for those Regents-bound students, students that we are on track to receive a Regents diploma, it's not possible for them to be in school for the full day, but they will have special education supports available to them, learning labs, for example. And they will have small class sizes, even smaller with our AB model, our morning and afternoon model. ICT classes will continue as they always have, with a general education teacher and a special educator supporting the work. As we have done in the past, and with some of the changes and the advances in Microsoft Teams, we will be able to have some smaller channels for the special educators to provide increased supports for their students, both in the afternoon or on Wednesdays. So we are looking at a variety of ways to meet the needs of our students. Again, health and safety being our primary consideration, but we do feel we have a good model and are going to be off to a good year. Thank you, Mrs. Rossi.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. One of the things I want to mention, this is probably the best time to mention it, is the option of homeschooling. So we have 2 options on the table. We have the in-person option, which we feel we can do. We have the virtual only option for parents, but there's another option called homeschooling. And basically what that is, according to the New York State Education Department, if your child is of compulsory school age, that's up through age 18, you have the right to instruct your child at home, otherwise known as homeschooling. We have a small number of families here who have historically chosen to homeschool. If you think that that is something you would like to pursue for your child, you have the means to do it at home on your own, you would like to pick the curriculum for your child, that can definitely be arranged with our assistants here up at the district. But the one thing parents have to assure, they have to assure that the school district, to the school district, that the child is receiving the necessary instruction in certain required courses in order to graduate. So we give you everything you need. If this is something that you think is for you, you would simply email, send my office an email. You could email it to the district clerk, Mrs. Linda Pesci, or myself, with your intent in an email to homeschool your child or children for the 2020-2021 school year. That initial email gets the wheels in motion. That's when then we will send you all the regulations, we will send you all the directions and what you need to do from there on out. And it's pretty simple. And now I will tell you, in normal years, the due date to notify your home school district that you were going to be homeschooling your child was always August 1st. Well, that date came and went. But with the current situation that school districts are in throughout the state of New York, that date is obviously very relaxed. And if, again, if you think this option is for you, simply send me an email and we will get you equipped to run with that model. It's relatively easy. You get to pick your own curriculum materials. If you wanted to use our curriculum materials and follow, you know, what we're doing here, that would be fine too. So you can call my office at 631-893-7923 or simply send us an email for that option. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the opening of school, whether it is in person or the virtual only option. For the in-person option, you know, the very first days of school, being back here on our campus, will be hopefully a very happy experience for those students who join us with our teachers. Our opening, whether it's in-person or virtual, will reflect on getting to know one another again. You know, the students haven't been here since March. Like I said, our teachers are incredibly excited. They cannot wait to be here. We can't wait to see the kids return, whether through the screen or in person. But we have to spend the first number of days making those relationships and forming those bonds again with the kids. So there'll be a lot of social emotional connections going on. We have a terrific mental health team that is gearing to go. They're going to be visible. They're going to be visiting classrooms. There will be also options for our children who are virtual to tap into those experts as well. Also in the first days and weeks, now when I say weeks, I'm thinking maybe the first week or two. Obviously the first days of school, we will be going over the health and safety measures for students who are physically here on our campus. That will include everything from, you know, teaching the kids, reteaching the kids about healthy hand hygiene, meaning hand washing, how to properly cover your face with a mask, how to put on the mask, take off the mask. We'll be reviewing social distancing measures. We'll be going over respiratory hygiene. For example, you know, how would you cough or sneeze into your elbow? We'll be also going over with the older kids, and I consider our 7th through 12th graders older, you know, how to identify symptoms. We'll be reviewing the signage around the building with them. So these are all health and safety measures in addition to, you know, the mandated drills that we have to do every year. Now, necessarily, the children in the virtual format won't need all that. So on that, you know, model, we'll be focusing more or equally on the social emotional connections. But all kids, whether they're online or in person, we're going to be spending the first number of days and couple of weeks on just getting the kids really acclimated to the use of the computers. They're going to have their devices with them. They have to go back and forth every single day with the kids. As Mr. Cerrone said, hopefully they're not carrying too much in their backpacks other than that device. That is their lifeline to school this year. And we will be spending, the teachers will be spending a tremendous amount of time on Microsoft Teams, the model. So if we ever had to go like that to virtual, they're ready. All right. So that's what the soft opening in the first few days and weeks will look like. And again, you know, the ability to make those partnerships is very, very critical and make those relationships happen. Equally important to relationship building would be extracurricular activities. We know that those are very important. We have a vibrant high school here, 7 through 12 building, where we have many, many clubs that children participate in. Really amazing for what other districts lack, I would say. There is a club for every student here at the high school, whether they're in person or virtual. But in the beginning months, we will be holding activities and clubs on a virtual platform so we can get everybody involved, including the students who are in the virtual model. All right. So more will be coming out about that once the school year starts through Mr. Cerrone's office. I wanted to also talk about visitors. Based on guidance, you know, from New York State, we are really cutting off visitors in the beginning months because of all of the mandates in place school is going to be for the teachers and the students, and for the parent who might have to come up in an emergency to pick up his or her child for a health reason or any kind of essential reason for that. We will not be having visitors in to do in-person assemblies, but we might be doing virtual assemblies, but we won't have volunteers in. We just can't right now, but hopefully our aim is to get back to that someday, okay? Mr. DeJoseph, can you just mention a few things about sports? I know sports is on hold right now, but our teams are ready to go, hopefully, with our coaches.
Sure, thank you. Myself and the team here, as always, have been very supportive of the mission of athletics. We follow the New York State and Section 11 mandates. As of right now, we have a start date of September 21st. Information will be coming home in the coming weeks regarding sign up and rank one. The governor announced today that next week he will be making an announcement regarding the start of sports. If we do not start on September 21st, the state has developed a plan for three seasons beginning in January. Our greatest hope is we can get going this fall. If not, they do have a plan. They would be 3 8-week seasons. The winter season would start in January, run through March. The fall season would run from March 1st through May 1st. And then lastly, the spring season would go from May 1st to the end of the school year. So we're looking forward to having athletics this year, hopefully this fall. If not, there is a plan in place that each child will have an opportunity to participate in athletics this year.
Excellent, thanks so much.
No problem.
And I know you will keep us very well informed as to any news that comes out in that area.
I will, thank you.
Yeah, Mr. DeJoseph is very active with the county association too. So thank you very much for representing us well. You're a good ambassador. Okay, next we're going to talk briefly about health and safety measures. We talked a lot about this in the FAQs that we sent out. The first being masks. I will say masks are mandatory to be in school. If you think your child will not be able to wear a mask, I would assume that the virtual option might be for your child. We have an obligation to protect the health and safety of all students and staff who will be physically on site. And we feel, you know, we can do that. We ordered masks for students. We're encouraging students to bring their own masks, usually masks that they're comfortable wearing. But if your child ever was one day to forget a mask, we have them. We have them with bus drivers. We have them here at school when they walk in. So don't fret, we will have them. We have various sizes. And we have the surgical masks for the students. We also have masks, obviously, for all employees, but there is a little autonomy in the kind of mask that your child can wear. We say that you keep it to two types. Either the white and blue surgical masks are usually very effective, according to our health professionals, or the typical cloth, traditional mask that is made of cloth that goes over the mouth. One type we are asking not to be worn, and if your child comes in with one, they will be given a different mask to wear, are those gator masks. Most recently, as yesterday, our school physician told us stay away from them. They should not be worn. They do spread germs. So we are asking that one simple thing, parents, if you can really help us out with that. I know they're very popular with the kids. My son had one when he went off to college and we had to get him, you know, different ones. But please make sure that your children come to school with the appropriate type of mask and one that they're comfortable and used to wearing. Like I said, masks are required the minute they step onto a bus, are on school grounds outside as well as in school. Okay. They're only here for four periods a day. They're older kids. And, you know, it's really to protect the health and safety of everybody involved, their peers, as well as our employees who will be working with them. Okay. At this point, I am going to turn it over to Dr. Daly, who will talk a little bit more about health and safety. We're going to be going over the Daly AM survey that parents will fill out once a day for the children and their family. And he'll also be talking about temperature scanners that we purchased throughout the district, the social distancing 6 feet guidelines, as well as cleaning of our buildings.
Thank you, Mrs. Rossi, and good evening to the viewing members of our community. Let me begin with, in no particular order here, to talk a little bit about the temperature scanning for students when they arrive to school. Mr. Cerrone earlier did a very good job of explaining the format. What we have done as a district is we've made the decision that we are going to take the temperature of all students and staff each morning before students or staff enter the building. At the locations where the temperatures will be taken, we will have staff assigned to those devices. And in any situation where a student may record a temperature above what would be considered normal, they will be more or less in a very delicate way and in a very nice way, move off to the side. We will get the nurse from the high school down to administer an oral temperature, which is the most reliable form of temperature taking. We feel that it's incumbent upon us to take all necessary steps to try and avoid a situation where a student or a staff member may enter the building exhibiting some signs of COVID, symptoms of COVID. So that's one of the first steps. Even before that, parents and staff will be required to submit an online, we're calling it a survey, it's a health screening questionnaire that will ask the parents and staff to confirm whether or not their children are or any family member has been exhibiting the symptoms of COVID. That will then come into the district and that will be routed to the health professionals in each building. That's a second way that we're trying to avoid anyone coming into the building exhibiting any of these symptoms. Let me go into now, talk a little bit about our cleaning efforts in the junior senior high school. We will satisfy and in many cases exceed the mandatory requirements recommended by the New York State Department of Education, the Department of Health, and the CDC. During the school day, custodial staff will address all high contact, high use areas, such as doorknobs, handrails, water fountains and bathroom fixtures using a spray disinfectant. Additionally, once again, we talked about the desks in the classroom being labeled A and B. That's very important because what that is going to do is it's going to allow our custodial staff the necessary time to get in and disinfect areas so that students who are coming in to use the desk with the next cohort will be assured of clean desks when they arrive. The other important fact that I want to emphasize, and again, this was something Mr. Cerrone talked about, every classroom will be stocked with disinfectant wipes and hand cleaners. We will be encouraging all students, never assume anything. You're free to take and use any of the cleaning supplies we have available for you. We will encourage students to do that, just like you as parents will encourage and have and do encourage your students when they're outside of school. I'll say it again, this is a total team effort. It's a partnership and it has to continue here in school, particularly in this COVID era. Now, in the evening, a more thorough deep cleaning process will take place in all spaces. One of the new critical elements to that will be we've purchased these devices, these misters, these spray devices that you will see on airplanes. The cleaning process of the high school classrooms will always end with a custodian spray disinfecting the entire class, all the hard spaces. That's going to happen every night. So when they come back in the morning, the classrooms, all hard surfaces will be completely disinfected. Another critical element of our, let's just say, health and safety efforts is ventilation. The introduction of outside air is the highest recommendation of all of the agencies which are providing guidance relative to COVID. That happens in the buildings in one of two ways. First and foremost, devices called unit ventilators that are mounted on the exterior walls in all classrooms under the windows. That's how outside air will get in, number one. Number two, it will be through windows. So what we've done in the area of ventilation, we've gone out, we've changed all air handling filters in classrooms, unit ventilators, and air conditioning units. We have ordered replacement high efficiency filters. We have tested and verified that all classroom unit ventilators are performing as designed. We have confirmed that all building exhaust fans are performing as designed. We have made modifications to the high school nurse's office and other spaces in the event that we have to temporarily house or hold a student who may be exhibiting symptoms. The other two critical pieces that we've done is we're bringing in our outside contractors, the contractor, the HVAC contractor, to perform an audit of our building management system. And we're also bringing in an environmental consultant to verify and audit that all air handling systems in classrooms are performing as designed. So we're really leaving no stone unturned, recognizing that outdoor air is key in a healthy environment for the students. I think that about covers it, Mrs. Rossi, unless I'm missing anything.
No, thank you, Dr. Daly. One thing I do want to mention is about the daily heat index indicator. We might get really lucky in the month of September, might be a nice cool month. Let's hope for that. There can be certain days, though, in September that are brutally, brutally hot when the humidity is taken into consideration. And the daily heat index indicator is the temperature of what it feels like. So the temperature outside could be, 88 degrees, but it feels like 94. So one of the things that we will be doing, and parents need to know this, if there is a day, and we're seeing the projections, the night before that tomorrow might be brutally hot, we might call that night that the following day will be a virtual day, because the safety and health of our students and staff is our utmost concern. We don't want anyone passing out. They will be wearing masks. So we will be looking at the daily heat index indicator throughout the month of September, just to make sure that the buildings are comfortable for everybody. Now, in one of the FAQs a couple of weeks ago, we advertised, 95, and that's awfully hot. So we went back to our school physician and, he basically is saying, let's bring it down to the high 80s. So it's either going to be 88 or 89 degrees as the heat index indicator, because again, sometimes up on the second and third floors, especially of the junior senior high school, we need kids to feel comfortable at the same time. So that's why we like the model, because the AM/PM model with that virtual live Wednesday, we'll get the kids geared up in case we do have to pull back from time to time to an all virtual day of learning because of simply the heat index. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope we can be here throughout the month of September in person and that the weather is nice and cooler. But that is definitely something that we will be implementing if need be. So I just wanted to bring that up. Another thing I wanted to bring up, listen, we can bring them here in a healthy way. We feel confident we can. But I think we'd be honest with you, and every district should be saying this. There will be a case somewhere in our town, somewhere in our local schools. There will be a case of COVID happening. That is just our reality right now. And I think being smart people, you know, we have to understand that's inevitable. It might happen the first week. It might happen the first month. It might happen 3 months in. We don't know. It might happen 3 days in. When that happens, though, you know, there are certain procedures that we will be going through. And to be completely transparent with everybody, you know, we will be letting you know. Obviously, people know what the signs of COVID are, you know, fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing, fatigue, muscle, body ache, so on and so forth, loss of taste and smell. Just because you're having these symptoms, though, or a child is exhibiting these symptoms, might not necessarily mean that one has COVID-19. So as Dr. Daly mentioned, you know, we have things happening in the morning that are preventative measures that help us ensure that everyone coming in is hopefully very healthy. Parents, when you're filling out that daily AM survey, please be honest with yourselves, be honest with us. If your child has any of these symptoms, please encourage that they stay home, call the school nurse, follow up with a doctor's appointment, because you'll find as you go to the doctor and they take you through questions, they might say, no, you have nothing to worry about, or they might refer you to be tested or your child to be tested. That's keeping everybody in our community healthy and safe. All right. We'd rather you err on the side of caution. Everything you tell the school nurse or any way you fill out that survey, that is confidential information. We don't share that with anybody other than our health professionals. They're the only ones who see it. You know, confidentiality is very, very important to us. At the same time, it needs to be important with all of us out in the community too, because we don't want to jump to conclusions. You know, I said this the other night at the elementary school meeting, you know, sometimes little kids present fevers because they have headaches. That doesn't mean, you know, we're out there, you know, saying that a child on our roster has COVID. So we have to be really careful here. We're going to take this, we're going to be very confidential in this process and very caring. But do know, if we ever did have a confirmed case, we would be notified immediately. We would either be notified by the Department of Health, or sometime even the family, you know, might even inform us. If that happens, know that we go right into COVID mode. We go into contact tracing mode. And basically, you know, I will tell you, you know, we do have staff here that have been officially trained on contact tracing measures. So what does that mean? That means if we get notified that a student or a staff member has a case of COVID, we must work very closely with the Department of Health in what is called contact tracing. And that is simply the process in which individuals who have had close contact with someone exposed to COVID need to be notified. So we would be working directly with the Suffolk County Department of Health. We would have a contact there, and within, you know, minutes of finding that out, we are now providing the Department of Health student and teacher cohort information, possible list of close contacts, whether it be in the classrooms or maybe a bus that they rode together. We have to provide attendance information, the assignment and location of employees who might have been working with that student, or students who maybe have been working with that employee. This is all the data that we give the Department of Health. And do know, we then are obligated to take the extreme advice step by step from a representative at the Suffolk County Department of Health. And that includes how we notify the community. So getting back, you know, we will have a case. When it happens, we don't know. We might have to close down the whole school. We might have to close down a wing of the building. That will be determined based on the information the Department of Health gives us and we give them. But if that happens, I will tell you, the minute we find out, we will be reaching out to them and we will be following their directives on proper notification of the parent population and next steps, okay? But just know, you know, I think we'd be foolish if we didn't think it's not going to happen. It will happen. And that's why that virtual Wednesday in the middle of the AMPM model is a good thing, because our kids will be trained to revert back to virtual on the turn of a dime. So as I said, you know, we feel we can get them back here in a healthy manner. It's going to take a partnership with everybody involved to make sure the children can stay in school. Don't be afraid to have your child stay home if they're exhibiting any kind of illness, whether it's symptoms of COVID or something else, okay? You have a lot of smart people here, wonderful health professionals who will take you through the process. And again, I'll say, you know, everything is kept highly confidential, okay? So with that being said, I think we reviewed a lot. We received a number of excellent, excellent questions from our high school parents, which we have gathered over the last few weeks. And we're going to spend some time right now going through some of those questions. We're going to go back and forth. We'll go through some questions and then we'll go take some community questions from our Zoom meeting, and then we'll go back to questions. So hopefully by the end of tonight, you'll have a lot of answers. So the first one actually is on temperature taking. Dr. Peter, I'm gonna ask you this question. This question was from a wonderful mom. She writes, sometimes temperatures can be taken at various facilities for many reasons. There are times that I know that the reading could be inaccurate on the low side as well as on the high side. How can we be sure that the technology being used taking children's temperatures will be absolutely accurate? I thought that was a great question.
It was a very good question. And the answer is we can't. And that's why taking the temperature at the temperature scanners is one indicator of an elevated temperature. It is not the sole criteria. That will lead us to a procedure that a licensed nurse, health professional, will immediately come to the area and will administer an oral temperature. So it's again, it's an indicator. These are compensating or mitigating measures that we're taking. And it's not, you know, the temperature scanners are just devices to indicate an elevated body temperature.
Right. Thank you. So the school nurses will be on hand with other means to take temperatures accurately if a child presents with a higher temperature of 100 or above, right? Thank you. Okay. The next question I'm going to pose to Mr. D'Amico. Are the asynchronous videos that are assigned on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays comprised of new learning or reinforcement of a previously taught lesson?
They could be either of those things. The asynchronous portion of instruction, be it associated with the live face-to-face or in the virtual model, can serve any number of purposes. It could be new instruction. It could be reinforcement of a concept taught face to face. It could delve deeper into something. Just as it is in our classroom, sometimes when a teacher delivers a lesson, they do it over the course of two periods. Sometimes they reinforce, sometimes they move into a new lesson. So it could be any of those things.
Great, okay. Staying with that AMPM model, when the students are home and they're not physically in school, they're on the off session, how could that off session be used, Mr. Cerrone, for seniors who need to navigate the college application process?
So there'll be time in the day to meet with their counselor, whether it be virtual or at school. To cover all of that. I know the guidance staff the three counselors for the seniors. They have already worked with Mr. Murphy on coming up with a format that they're going to cover all of that starting in the, at the end of September.
Excellent. And I think we even have a senior planning night that will be virtual with all our families and our seniors too. Our guidance team does a terrific job. There will be no stone left unturned, we promise you. This is another great question for Mr. Cerrone. We have a number of new students entering this year as seventh graders coming into the building. Each year we do a lovely orientation for them. Can you tell us a little bit about seventh grade orientation, when that will be, and how we plan on welcoming them in?
Sure. So we are still preparing the building, so we're trying to get all of that done. We are looking to do a little bit of a virtual night for both students and parents. And then on right now, it looks like probably September 3rd, we'll have staffing on the 1st and 2nd. And September 3rd, I'll have, of course, quite a few different different orientations that day, probably 3 to 4 orientations to spread it out among students.
Excellent.
Okay. More information will go out next week on that.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. What about, Mr. Cerrone, if students come into school late, what would be the procedure? Or if they need to be picked up early from school, what's the procedure? Where would they go? You know, where would parents go for pickup?
So the pickup would, first of all, that the attendance office, they have an email address to the attendance office that's also connected to myself and guidance. So they email the attendance department office to let them know that a pickup's coming. We would have the student called down and we'd have the student waiting for them to pick up. So it wouldn't be, someone wouldn't even really have to come into the building. We could drop and go right at the vestibule.
Very good, thank you. Good question here on back to school night. We'll be working with our teachers to develop, you know, what that platform will look like, because we know that back to school nights are very important for families as well as the instructors in our classrooms. Will kids, Mr. Cerrone, have the agenda books this year?
So we're
assemblies.
We're creating the agenda book it's electronic format. Which we will put up in Microsoft Teams. So everybody will have it in each class, you know, from 2021 all the way down as a team on their grade level. In that team will be their agenda group.
Great, okay. And assemblies, we'll be probably doing some creative virtual assemblies.
Definitely virtual. We're doing virtual assemblies on the 8th and 9th for students to go over all the new procedures we want. You know, we've been calling it a soft opening on the 10th and 11th. We want students to be relaxed, but we want them to understand that there are a whole bunch of new protocols and procedures going on in school, and we have to take it serious.
Excellent. Thank you. Last question I have, this is an excellent one. We've gotten some questions about driver's ed. Any word on driver's education that was canceled back in March? And also, how can students get a senior parking permit?
Ooh.
That's a popular question.
They make money on those parking permits. So driver's ed, New York State has not allowed driver's ed to be virtual. So they're still staying to that it has to be in person. They have not released that yet to the driving companies. I'm going to have a conversation with them on Tuesday to find out if there's been any update on that. The group that was in driver's ed in March, they are still in driver's ed. They're the only group that's in driver's ed right now, and they will be taken care of first.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
As far as senior parking, AMPM gives more parking spaces out to.
Right. There you go. Good. All right. Just a couple more questions. When would the schedules be announced? So we're a little behind, obviously, because we've extended the virtual only option. Typically around this time, we're sending out our packets. But keep in mind, the student start day, is September 10th. It's usually in very early September. So we have a much later start this year. But Mr. Cerrone, can you shed some light on that?
Sure. So it well, like I said, it was a 9-period day. Now it's an 8-period day. A 9-period schedule takes somewhere close to 3 months to create. We're doing an 8-period day in less than a month. It's close. We also have to find out the numbers on virtual, which is going to sway things differently in who's in and who's not. And then we're still, you know, looking at some staff, how to move around some staff. But the schedules are very close. The guidance councils will be in middle of next week. So I'm hoping to have the schedule up and ready for them to start calling people on, you know, choices.
Perfect. Great. Last question before we go to the floor of parents. This is a good question. Will the in-person AM-PM assignments shift weekly or stay consistent throughout the semester?
Well, to me, they stay consistent. The whole idea of having AM and having was you know, to try to get students in school more days so parents could maybe adjust their schedule. And then I think once you adjust your schedule, you have to kind of lock the schedule.
Yeah, it's much easier for parents to have a set schedule, I would think. Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a facilitator here with us tonight. Mrs. Pesci, are you there? Okay, we're going to call on the first participant who'd like to ask a question. I do ask that if you were selected, when your turn comes up to ask a question, simply raise your hand. You'll be given that ability to do so, unmute your mic. We're asking that one question per participant, please, okay? This way we can get to almost everybody here tonight. Thank you. Okay. Okay, we have someone on here. Okay, good evening.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for joining
us, everybody. How the AM-PM schedule work with a kid that is taking tech at Wilson Tech?
Excellent question. That's a good one. Okay, Mr. Cerrone.
That's a great question. So, Tech is AM, so regardless of what your last name is, that student is a PM student here. So they'll go to Tech AM. It fits perfectly in our AM-PM model, and they will come here for 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th periods, and 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the PM. So there'll be a PM model in this building, AM model at Tech.
Thank you for that question. Okay, we're pulling up the next person. Okay. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I have a question. The region-bound ICT students with IEPs, and that they really need that face-to-face extra support. So I guess I'm asking Ms. Consolo, she said it's tricky, but that doesn't mean that the children don't need that extra support. And it's kind of frustrating that it's not an option for them to be there full time when they clearly need it. These are critical years. They're region bound students getting ready to get into college. Their grades absolutely count. They're already going to be missing a full day on Wednesday of face-to-face instruction. They're expected to go home and work asynchronous work, which doesn't really work for students that already have difficulties in school face-to-face. And I've already experienced that from March to June with my own child. I think it's detrimental. And in reality, parents do work. Our children are going to be coming home sometimes by themselves, working by themselves and getting very frustrated, which I already experienced it with my own daughter. And, you know, I just don't see that working in their benefit. I just have a few more words to say. I wrote them down. There has to be some way we can have a plan B for these kids to have extra support, because they've already been home since March. Their, you know, morale is already shot, and these kids, you know, they may not fit the criteria of the other kids that are allowed to come back full day, but these kids need the support now more than ever, and they should have the option to be able to be there.
Thank you. Okay. I am going to pass that off to Mr. Cerrone and Mrs. Consolo.
Okay. Mr. Cerrone, can I just say that I think in the ICT model, with the AB schedule, one of the advantages is that the students will have a learning lab, and that is going to be a very small group of students. It's really going to resemble more of a resource room because of the number of students who were there. And I know Mr. Cerrone has worked hard to have content areas teachers in those learning labs to provide additional support, especially knowing this year's schedule. So I think that's one way that in our current model, we're looking at providing some additional support. Mm-hmm. Mr. Cerrone, you're muted. You're still muted.
All right. So if I could say on that, right, this whole process is a learning process. So your question is great. It's two-way communication. We're talking. I love it. We are looking at maybe for those students that their learning lab would go actually remote. So in other words, when your child goes home, let's say your child, so your child's a PM child. So in the morning, they would get their learning lab in the morning. And that learning lab remotely to them in the morning would help them out with everything that they have to be ready for in school. And then for the AM kid, they would remotely get a learning lab at home, but with the teacher in a small group. So we are working on that. It's not totally done yet, but it looks like it can happen because we are listening to what you said. Mm-hmm. I will say this though, you know, it really is fixed, you know, versus growth mindset, that some of these programs that you're going to see this year, you know, last year we had March 13th came and March 16th was like, whoa, what are we going to do? And we did a good job. But there are programs out there like Nearpod and Edpuzzle and Microsoft Teams and OneNote that really will engage students. And they can stop and start the lesson a lot stronger than just having like an open source or live streaming where you don't know what's really going on. It's one-way communication. We're talking about two-way communication. And with that, you know, it really is a time to reinvent school. So I think you're going to be happy if you give us some time and work on things. We also need the flexibility, right? So we, you know, without a doubt, in the unforeseeable future, Mrs. Rossi said it before, students in school will be shifting again probably. So teachers are developing a program, an instructional model that can be taught anywhere, in school, out of school, and that's what they're working on. And I think we are working on that harder than anyone else when you look at our Wednesday schedule. So,
thank you.
Can I just add, Ms. Rossi, can I just add a little something to that just to kind of broaden the understanding of the issue and the challenge for Mrs. O'Keefe and everybody else? It's important to remember that I don't know if there's any high schools, Mr. Cerrone had mentioned one, that can bring everybody back into the school. There is not the space to do that. So everybody, most high schools on Long Island are challenged with finding a model where half of the kids are coming back in some sort of a format. A day, B day is what you might have heard. We have this AM/PM model. And again, I would say for a student like that, that needs extra support, the AM/PM model, the way we're running it, is really best suited for them. Because if they need, we do need that asynchronous instruction, and that's happening in every school in some way. But here, that asynchronous instruction is very closely connected to the face-to-face instruction that they're receiving to reinforce it, to back it up, or to enrich it. And I think it is actually the best model for a student like that. Thank you.
Thank you. I thought her question was excellent. Thanks everybody for answering that as well. Okay. Do we have another community member? Okay. Hi, good evening.
Hi, this is Stefana Muller. Thank you for taking my question. Sorry for the background noise.
No problem.
My question is very, very simple, and I might have missed it because I have background noise today. I'm trying to figure out what the drop-off situation will be. I work full-time, and so does my husband, and my daughter will be having to travel there. I'm trying to figure out if there's a specific door or if it's going to be quick. I know that pickup usually took me a half hour because of the traffic. I'm wondering what's going to be done there. Do, you know, 7th and 8th grade go through one door or whatnot, similar to the grade school, or is it different at the high school?
Great question, and I'm sure knowing Mr. Cerrone, he'll probably be putting out a map, a visual for parents too. Mr. Cerrone?
So the entrance, all students will be filtered through the East Gym. There will be one specific door which will have signage on it for 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. It allows us to get quite a few students in the building in case it's inclement weather and everything else. But they will, everybody will be entering through the East Gym. Exiting, like you talked about, when we release the school after school, only the students that get picked up will be exiting out of Grove Place. Everybody else will be either on really exiting off of Railroad Avenue.
Great. Okay. Again, a lot more information on that to come. Well, you'll have visuals, but good explanation. Okay. Next up. Hello. Good evening. Deborah C.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're on. Great.
Okay. I know you said you're trying to minimize the supplies, but those one-to-one devices are extremely heavy to begin with. Can my child use their own device from home? A laptop or a tablet of their own?
Mr. D'Amico, I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't think they'd have Microsoft Teams installed, right? Or
why would they use it at home? I that's my question. Like,
I'm saying, so I have a smaller device for her that she could use to bring to school. So instead of, no. Okay.
Would not be able to access our network with that device in the school.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Great.
Thank you for the question.
Okay.
Good try. That was a good question. Okay. Next up, Mrs. O'Connell. Hello, good evening.
Hello. I just had a question about how like music and gym classes are going to work, and is there any news on the new chorus teacher?
Mr. Story is full-time at the high school, and he will be taking on the chorus, junior high and senior high, and staying, of course, with the theater program. So all of our programs are running. It pretty much goes like this. Orchestra, which can stay 6 feet apart, will be in the band room. The band will be spread out all throughout Row Hall. And chorus will be in the West Gym. Again, chorus and band have to both be 12 feet apart, but they fit it with no problems.
Excellent. Okay. We'll take one more question, then we'll go back to emailed questions. Okay. Good evening.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Great. First of all, thank you all for all the work you've done. I think Babylon's doing an amazing job. So thank you. Just want to give thanks to all of you. I just also wanted to know for students who have testing accommodations, like extended time, obviously the separate location seems something very manageable, but with the half day schedule, if you get your extended time in the second half of the day, would that mean then that you are completing tests the following day? Or like how is that gonna work with the extended time accommodation?
That's
a great question. Mrs. Consol and I were talking about that today. So there is some flexibility. There is some an AM kid can stay where we could keep that person isolated from even the PM group, and then they could exit, so we could keep an AM kid longer, and a PM kid could come in the next day earlier also to finish. So there are some flexibility. I don't know if you want to add to that, Ms. Consultant.
And depending upon what other services you might receive, we are able to allow tests to be finished in a resource room or a learning lab as well. So, you know, we're going to be creative and flexible to meet that need.
Great. Okay, we're going to just revert back to some of the emailed questions, and then we'll open up the floor again. This was a question, Mr. D'Amico, that we received a few times over. It's about 7X. The question is saying, I am most concerned for the students that are taking Math 7X. How are those students going to be prepared for a Regents Math class?
So a couple of pieces about that, and I'll ask Mr. Cerrone to join in on that too. With Math 7, we'll be able to give them a period and a half of math. So in all likelihood, any student who was prepared for 7X, who was ready to be in 7X, would be ready to take algebra in eighth grade. And that's generally a person who's in 7X, that's generally what we're thinking about. Will that student be ready and prepared to take algebra accelerated in eighth grade? It's always important to note here too that algebra in eighth grade, as we call it here 8X, has always, we've seen that it's an accelerated course. So really algebra is intended in the New York State Ed Department's scope and sequence. Algebra is a ninth grade course. It's accelerated in eighth grade. We offer a 7X here in Babylon. That student taking that period and a half of math in seventh grade should be prepared for 8X in eighth grade. They could go into that and take algebra there. Did I miss anything, Mr. Cerrone, on that?
No, that was perfect.
Great, okay. Thank you, Mr. D'Amico. That was a great detailed answer there. This is a great question. We've gotten this question also over and over again. Why cannot we mandate students and staff be tested for COVID? I will tell you, our staff members are obviously very attuned to their own health. You know, we can't mandate these kinds of tests, though. That would have to come down as an executive order by the governor of the state of New York that would permit students to require, would permit districts to require that. Again, though, a great question. It sounds reasonable, right? But we are not required to or allowed to demand that students or staff members come in with negative COVID test results. With that being said, again, honesty is going to relate to our success with this whole plan. Honesty of, you know, everybody involved. So, like I said before, it is a confidential process, and we hope that everybody is honest with how they themselves or their children are feeling before they go to school every day. The next question that came in, this is a great question. It's a curricular-based question, Mr. D'Amico. Some classes are doubles, such as biology, calculus. How are doubles being handled, and what about labs? Or Mr. Cerrone, either person.
Mr. Cerrone, why don't you?
Sure. So A-day, B-day schedules work. So there's day one and day two. The Monday and Tuesday are A day, and the Thursday and Friday are B day. So on an A day, you will have a double period of math or science if you have, you know, one A, or most time it's period one with a 2A, period three with a 2B. So 1-2A is a double period on that Monday. If you are 8-7B, then you are double period on that Friday, which is a B day. That's how it works. So on those days, you get 80 minutes of instruction in that subject area.
Great, okay. hopefully that answered this gal's question. Great question. This is another great question. How often are we meeting with state officials to decide moving to more in-person instruction? I wish that was the case. We have to take direction from the state of New York, typically out of the governor's office. Those decisions regarding the more relaxed mandates, hopefully when they come, will be made at the executive level, at the governor's office level. We will hopefully be moving to more in-person, full-day instruction, I think, when you start to see that the social distancing mandates are becoming relaxed. And that will happen based on, the phases that Suffolk County is moving through right now and the lessening of cases as we go on throughout the week. So let's hope we continue going in a positive, positive direction there. But school districts, through our association, we have some feedback with the governor's office, but it is all related back to the health metrics at the county level. We have to abide by the mandates and the orders that come down from Albany. Another question sort of aligns with what I just said. Since we received the calendar for September, October, and November for Mr. Cerrone, will you be reassessing in November whether we can return to full days then? Again, that and my answer to that would answer this question. Which brings me maybe to the school calendar. When you all receive the official school calendar in your mailboxes, you will see the months of September and October, all the various events that we have. And next to those events, you might see virtual in parentheses. As we lead into the fall months, you might see the word in parentheses that says tentative. And I was optimistic when working the spring months without putting those words in parentheses. So we'll see. Everything is based on what we get regarding directives from Albany and the county as to, what phase we're in. So I'll leave it there. Okay. Let's open up the floor again, Mrs. Pesci. Hello, Mrs. Petiri. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you guys for making the time. We really appreciate that.
Sure.
I have several questions, but I'm going to stick to one.
Thank you.
Some of the families in Babylon may refuse to wear masks due to political reasons. Is the district going to refuse them from participating with in-person instruction?
Yes, they have to wear masks. Students have to wear masks. It's for the health and safety of everybody here on our premises, on our campuses, health and safety of our instructors. That is going to be a non-negotiable. That's why we do have the virtual option also. Great question. Okay. Okay, good evening. Good evening, you're on. It looks like she muted herself. She has to unmute, I think. Hi, Jacqueline. Hello? Maybe we'll try to get her back in a few minutes. Okay. Hello, Mr. Nyman.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. As far as the virtual only option, what does it mean? Does this mean that there will be no advanced honors or AP classes offered to that group?
We really can't say at this point. We have to wait and see what the total enrollment looks like. As I did say, we would be focusing on courses that are required for graduation. However, we will look at all of our students, what their needs are and what they might, what we can offer in that regard. And in some instances, we will look to third party vendors. So we've had instances here where if we don't offer a course and a student has exhausted all of the available options within a content area, we've gone outside of the district and worked with BOCES, who's offered a virtual option. We'll do that as well in this situation. But we need next week to really look at the numbers, see what our students are doing.
Thank you, Mr. D'Amico. Okay, we're going to open up the rest of the meeting to the floor. We actually reviewed, I think, all of our high school questions, whether they were posed as emailed questions in or were our presentation tonight. So welcome, Mr. Crisberg. How are you?
Hi, this is Mrs. Crisberg speaking.
How are you?
Hi. I have a question about the full virtual. Now, when I let my son choose that option, when we chose it as a family, I was under the assumption that he would be part of the classroom, only in a virtual manner. Am I mistaken?
Yes, you are. I believe what you're referring to is a live video streaming option where the teacher might open up the video camera and teach to that. We are not doing that. There would be a separate teacher who would teach live to the virtual only students. So that's referred to as synchronous instruction. So there is a teacher who's teaching to the virtual students, and then there is an asynchronous portion to that coursework as well.
Right, and all students have the asynchronous work also. Like
that is correct.
Students in the classroom.
Right.
That is correct, right. So a fully virtual model for a student now closely resembles what our students are doing. There's, for every course, there's a piece of it that is in the virtual side, live synchronous, mm-hmm. in the face-to-face side, live face-to-face, mm-hmm. and then in both of those, asynchronous virtual.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
We also felt that having their dedicated virtual teacher for the virtual only students would encourage more interaction, right, Mr. D'Amico, between the teacher and the child rather than the live stream, which would be a little more difficult.
That's correct. There was two concerns for us with the live streaming piece. The ability of a live streaming day to keep a student engaged for those students who are watching in from home, to be able to stay engaged for that long, we thought was probably not very realistic. And there's the piece of kids being able to be on their phones at home and communicating with each other. The inability or the difficulty for that teacher who's in the classroom teaching live to stay engaged with the students who are watching in from home on the computer, the ability for that teacher to call on students who are at home and to keep them engaged. We just felt like it was not an option that was going to be great instructionally.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Next question.
Hello.
Hi there.
If a student is in the PM session and the opposite session, you know, the AM for them is pre-recorded and there's talk of that being review material, then how can they be doing the review in the morning before they've had the live session with the teacher in the afternoon?
Thank you for the question. Maybe mute your microphone.
What's happening?
Okay.
What's happening? Got it?
Got better? Good. Yeah. So information from the class will be on Teams. So the teacher is juggling both period 1 through 4, AM and PM, the first cycle, so you would cycle through, and then on Friday, the information will probably be up So they'll be working on it leading up to that Monday if it's 1 to 4, or Tuesday if it's, you know, 5 through 8. So it will be there, but it'll be units of study too. So they're going to have time to work on their material that extends for a week, sometimes 2 weeks of study for a unit of material. I will say it, you are correct that it'll probably have to work through a whole cycle until they're caught up, but starting on a Thursday kind of helps that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. If you can also just state your name when you're asking a question, please. Thank you. Okay, next up, Maria Spector.
Okay, speak.
Hello.
Okay. Well, when should students arrive for the PM session if they have a PM session at the high school?
Okay, good question, thank you. Ms. Cicerone, you have to unmute.
So it starts at 11:35, 20 minutes before 11:15 will open the doors. Very similar. So 11:15, the East Gym will be ready for the PM session.
Great, thank you. Okay, next up. Hello, Ms. Spector.
Hi. I just had a quick question. Is there any flexibility as to whether your child would be in the AM or PM session? I know it's alphabetical, but just wondering if there's any choice in there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. D'Amico, Mr. Cerrone?
I was just gonna say there's really, it's all about social distancing, and A through K is like 53% of the school and 47% is L through Z. So it's about keeping people distance and having the rooms at small sizes. So no, I would say no.
I would just add to that. If the question, I heard that question as, is there flexibility to switch if I ask? And unfortunately, no, there is not for that. Only because that's a can of worms that can't be opened. It would be very hard to start making that decision to say who to say yes to and who to say no to.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for the question. Next up, we have Ms. Burke. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Ashley and I both have a question regarding testing. Is testing going to be done during in person when they're in school, or is it going to be online to try to maximize learning time?
Great, good question. Thank you.
That is a good question. So, I mean, there's testing and then there's assessment. So I think assessment, formative assessment, is an ongoing tool that a teacher, so you're going to take something from home and watch videos, and then you're going to come to school and practice that. So you're going to be assessed every time you're in class that way, formative assessment. There are many devices now electronically that will also assess you on your work. So if you watch something, you take a 12-minute video, you could break it down 3 or 4 different times of a stop, start, asking students questions within there. So it's a combination of both. And then I'm sure there is going to be some type of, assessment at school too, where it's a written portion. But I would say 100% that time in class, and I think you guys are on to the right thing, that time in class is action. It's not sitting back, it's action. It's getting to work. So
great. Good question. All right. Next community member up. Welcome.
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
Hi there.
My question is, let's say a student tests positive for COVID and the school is notified. Would the parents of the entire student body be notified, or would it be broken down by class or grade? And if so, what would the lag time be in between your notification and the notification of the parents?
I think it would be immediate. Again, we'll be taking the direction of the Department of Health And answering the first part of your question, again, it's under the direction of the Department of Health. But like with any other communicable disease, if we find out about something, we typically would notice, the school in general, depending on the nature of the disease. And depending on the nature of this, I would think they would want us to notice the whole entire school itself. Again, but I can't say, we haven't been through it yet. We don't know how they'll be advising us, and we are obligated to follow their directives at all times. But we will be as transparent as we possibly are allowed to be. I promise you that. Thank you for the question. Okay. Next we have Ms. Amato.
Hi, my question is about the electives. If you go virtual, the full virtual, what ones are available, or are there going to be some that aren't available?
Great question, thank you.
Again, that's something that we can't answer right now. We need to evaluate the number of students that will be going fully virtual from day one. The emphasis and the focus will be on providing the coursework required for graduation. So, you know, those are our core courses in English, social studies, science and math, phys ed, which is also a graduation requirement, the arts, things like that. And then we'll take it out from there. I would say with all honesty that, you know, things like electives are low hanging fruit. Those are the things that are going to be the hardest to get to in the virtual model that is from September. Even when we go all virtual, where we would be able to cover more of the schedule, there's probably some courses that might have to fall off. Would you agree, Mr. Cerrone?
Yeah, definitely. So it's just harder to meet that demand, especially virtual. And, you know, I don't know the numbers right now of how many people would be out. Most of our elective courses right now too are, you know, the people teaching them, they're small departments also. They're not the...
Thank you. Okay. Next question. Okay. Welcome tonight.
Hello.
Hi. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening. I'm sorry. This is Mr. Brennan.
Hi, Mr. Brennan. Thank you for stating your name.
Thank you. I guess what I'm looking for here is maybe some guidance from the district in terms of households that may be on the fence, even within their own household, about doing all virtual versus in person. And the reason I'm asking is, as you, Ms. Rossi, quite bluntly and correctly put it, at some point, you know, whether it's political reason or people have to wear masks and different masks have different effectiveness, somebody is going to come up as a positive.
Yes.
And it seems to me, I just, as a clarification, that at this point, since we are, that the district is pushing towards in-person, that the strategy is to mitigate spread instead of preventing spread. Is that correct? And the only reason why I ask that is because, you know, you've got a 2-week incubation period. So if that one kid gets sick, you've got 2 weeks potentially of them infecting other people and then maybe people in their household. Mm-hmm. And that out of them, somebody might end up, or more, might end up getting hospitalized or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're up in the, if you've got one once that wants to do in person, maybe one of your students was struggled the last time in the last semester, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, you're trying to weigh it against the safety of your children.
Yeah, I can give you this. I think at one point in the year, we will be going all virtual, even if it is for a short time. I think that's probably in every school district's cards right now. Hopefully not. Hopefully we can keep the in-person going. We just don't know, you know. It's a tough one to answer. You know, we definitely want to mitigate, you know, those situations happening. That's why we have strict routines, rules, and procedures in place, which we have to for the in-person program. But at the same time, you know, if you're worried about your child getting all their electives, maybe the in-person is for you. When we do have that full day virtual Wednesday, you know, your child will get all their classes in a live synchronous manner. If we went to an all virtual model because of something that happened, let's say in our community even, where the governor calls that all districts in Suffolk County have to go full virtual, your child has all their electives. So I can give you that helpful advice.
My recommendation to Mr. Brennan would be break out the chart paper and do the old pros and cons, like get the family together and make your list and try and make, you know, look at it through that lens and make the very difficult decision about what you believe is best for your family. You know, and I think that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Thank you. Great question. I know it's a question on everyone's minds too. Next we have the Fords. Welcome.
Hi, it's Maureen Ford.
Hi there.
Hi, first of all, I just want to thank all of you for what you're doing here tonight. It's incredibly helpful and I really appreciate it and I'm really impressed. So soak that one in. My question is, we have our pros and cons list actually right in front of me, even before you said it. And not knowing whether on, I just heard, I didn't even realize this before somebody else's question was answered about the AP or honors classes may not occur for all virtual kids. It's kind of hard to make a decision by tomorrow by 5 if we don't have that answer. And also if we started in person but felt for whatever reason, you know, a month into it that we'd rather go all virtual, is that a possibility? I know you can't go the other way around, but
right.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Mr. D'Amico, do you want to
Yeah, you know, we talked about this, and I think it's one of those things that's a kind of we're all in this together type of answer, that what we're asking of the community is that, you know, you've done the first thing, you're here tonight, you're listening, hopefully you've read all of the material Mrs. Rossi has sent home with the F and Qs, and we're asking that you make a decision that you believe you can live with, and not make a decision through the lens of, well, let's try this and we'll bail on it if it doesn't work and it's not for us. You know, that's that, and that will work best for all of us. The point you make is a good one. It's hard to make a decision with an answer like, well, we don't know if we're going to be able to run all of the AP courses that we typically run. And yet the catch 22 is we can't really answer that without having all of the data in front of us. You know, the very best we can do is guarantee that we're going to run all of the courses that are required for graduation and as many more after that we can within reason. Mm-hmm. And then again, what we're asking of the community for the good of all is that you do, you know, you put your best foot forward and you make a decision with best intentions that you think you can live with really for the year if it had to be. I know that's not a perfect answer and you would, you know, but I think that's the best we can do with that.
Yeah. And, you know, as optimists, we're hoping it's not for the whole year. We're hoping, you know, right, things can become relaxed and we can get back right to, you know, a normal have everybody in type of situation. But yeah.
That's our best hope, says Mr. DeJoseph.
Okay. Thanks. Great question, though. All right. Next up. Welcome, Ms. Gonzalez.
Hi. Again. A lot of time with you guys this week.
Yep.
So how and when will extra help take place and will there be virtual peer tutoring available?
Great question. Like I said, we have a terrific staff behind our kids that will be working with your kids. Extra help, you know, is always part of the school day. We'll be working with our teachers on that structure available to everybody. But I will tell you in the first couple of weeks of school, maybe the first month of school, we're going to need all hands on deck because, you know, we're going to be honest, you know, the arrival, the dismissal, you know, just getting everything up and running, it's going to be messy at first, as every school district in the first opening days, you know, you're learning about routines and procedures. So we need all hands on deck. We will be working with our teachers to look at those structures and putting those structures in place as we discuss with them. Right, Mr. Cerrone?
Without a doubt.
Might not happen the first, right up front, because we're going to need people helping us.
And I would think if you did extra help, if there's virtual people out there in the virtual class, then we'd probably just do extra help virtually.
Right.
I mean, because then you can meet everybody. It's good for the person at home, you know, instead of doing it in the, you know, you have to find a place in the school to do it while another cohort's here. So I would think it would be a virtual model that maybe both models could come together on.
Thank you very much. Okay, next up, Ms. O'Connell. Ms. Sanchez, sorry. Welcome.
Thank you for taking me. I appreciate your time. My daughter takes 9 periods, so she gives up her lunch, and I'm hearing that this is an 8 period day, the way it's the model's made. So what happens to electives like studio art, things like that, where the students are willingly giving up lunch to be able to do that?
Okay. I'll pass this on to the high school. Sure. Thank you for the question.
So a decision is going to have to be made for an elective. Of course, they get their required courses. There are some courses that are extending past the day, but for the most part, they'll have to have a choice. I will say this, that many districts only run 8 period days have always only ran 8 period days, and many of them require lunch. So the average Babylon High School student, you need 22 credits to graduate high school, and our students average 34, 35 credits. So they are not behind at all by going one less course, but they're gonna have to probably make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, next participant up. Hello and welcome, good evening.
Hi.
Hi there.
My question has to do with students who may be absent, because now that we're erring more on the side of caution, you may find parents are keeping their kids home for just a simple stuffy nose or a minor little cough rather than take the chance of sending them into school. So when we have students that now are staying home more frequently, and they're missing those in-person lessons, if they're not being live streamed, maybe there could be a way that they could be recorded, that the students could access them later. Because a student who has the morning session, who has to do follow-up work in the afternoon, may not understand what they're supposed to do when they go on to the virtual session if they weren't there for the morning. My basic concern is that I think we may see absenteeism higher than usual as people are being more
right. And they're being transparent and honest with us, which we right. would appreciate. And I do think, thank you for the question. You know, those are going to be excused absences first and foremost, you know, when we hear the reason why from the parent. Mr. D'Amico, do you want to weigh in on that a little bit, or Mr. Cerrone?
Yeah, Mr. D'Amico, can I jump on that first? Because we have discussed that with staff, and that's a great question, and it's actually a thoughtful question, because you're doing the right thing staying home. So we want that. So there's two parts. Definitely a teacher will be having, if they're using their smart board that day, they'll be putting all of that up in their team. The great thing about the model is that most of the work, almost all of it, will be up in Teams recording. If we have a virtual class, it's very nice that the kid that's absent could just, if let's say the student's in ninth grade English, absent for 2 or 3 days doing the right thing, they jump into the virtual English class for that day, right? Because we have the virtual model. So that's one thing that we talked about.
Okay. We're on a good roll. We're going to take 7 more questions tonight before we tie it up. Those are the number of hands that we have left. So next up we have, hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, hi, thank you so much for taking the question. My concern is for the children that are in the PM cohort. There's about 55 minutes or 50 minutes in between the sessions. Will that allow enough time for the cleaning of all of the places that these kids and staff have been? And how much, you know, custodial staff do you have in order to do that? It seems very rushed, rather than, you know, the AM kids having the custodial staff all evening to prepare for them.
Good, great question. I'm going to send this over to Dr. Daly. We do have enough staff in that AM PM split time to get done what we have to get done, in addition to the deep cleaning then again at night. Dr. Daly? You're muted, you have to unmute.
Got it. So the question revolves around the cleaning process, Mrs. Rossi?
Yes.
Yeah. So as I indicated,
between the AM and the PM.
Right. Yeah. We feel that we will have enough manpower to get into those areas, the desktops in classrooms before the PM group comes in. The labeling of the desks A and B will also help us in that regard. So, you know, we realize that what we're going to need is we're going to have to staff our buildings differently with a greater emphasis on daytime as opposed to evening. We have all night to clean the rooms for the next day. We don't have all day to clean the rooms for the PM group that's coming in. So, you know, we actually are out there right now and we're recruiting people to come in and work for us during the middle part of the day at all levels. But we're confident that we will be able to get to the desktops and the hard spaces in all classrooms between the AM and PM sessions.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay. Hello, Ms. Ruggiero. Good evening.
Hi, how are you? Hold on.
Good, thank you.
You can hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Hi, how you doing? I just have a question in regards to what somebody had asked earlier about the alphabetical split and compared to what it'd be grade level. And I understand why you did that. And when he had said it was like 53 to 47.
Right.
My question is how is it per grade level, like split? Because like, say if, like say my daughter's taking AP bio. Mm-hmm. So how do we know that in that class that, you know, like there's going to be enough, will this affect our schedule? I'm asking because, so say there's only two kids taking AP bio from the second half of the alphabet, but there's a whole bunch in the beginning part. Will you still have that class for those two kids? And like, so say seventh graders have more of the lower part of the alphabet. So that was my question. Is it going to affect our schedule at all? Just considering the classes that they're taking once they get in high school, it's not just math, English, right. You know, it's different classes.
Okay. Great question.
So it will not affect her class at all. So I would say the largest class might go up to 14. So if it's a 22, it'll be maybe that would be the biggest difference, maybe a 14 and an 8. The classes are in. So right now they're in e-school, the scheduler. They're sitting there as like a class of 22. E-school's running an algorithm that will split it by A through K, L through M. So the class is made. It doesn't matter what the split is. And we know for a fact that the split won't be more than 14 either way. It goes almost 50% on three grade levels. It goes like 50%, almost where K is about 50%. And then the other grade levels, it goes, you know, like a, I think the worst grade level is like 55%. So it's very accurate.
Okay.
Right.
And
then
okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cerrone, for that detail. All right. We have one more question coming up. Hello. Good evening. Hello, good evening, you're on. Yep, okay, we'll try to get him back, let's see. Okay, good evening. Hi there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Yes, hi, my name is Rob. Again, I wanna reiterate what a lot of parents are saying and thank you for all the effort, because we know this isn't easy. If a large amount of students opt out, or parents, I should say, opt out their for virtual learning completely, mm-hmm. and if the, would you consider, if the numbers are low enough, or I should say high enough, to keep the students full time, if instead of half day?
That's a very good question. I don't know if that will happen. I don't know if the numbers will be that high where it's so skewed like that. That's a great question though. If they were, we would have to reevaluate. But at the same time, you know, parents are making their schedules, and that would have to be really looked at if that ever was the case. From what we're seeing now, I don't think that would be the case here in Babylon. Mr. D'Amico, you look like you want to add something to that.
Just thinking about the numbers, you know, it's really about social distancing and how many students you can fit in a classroom. I think you'd basically have to get about 50% of the people on virtual, I think, somewhere around that, right? I don't think we're close to that, just from the early numbers. And I wouldn't, who knows though, I guess, right?
I think his question was if one side is, you know, very skewed, let's say, you know, 80%, you know, mm-hmm. would we take the other 20% the focus is at New York State to get kids back physically into school. I will tell you that, you know, and that might continue to be the focus coming down from the state, as long as, you know, the county proceeds through these phases effectively. You know.
Yeah, I can't imagine that many people choosing not to come in.
I don't think so either, but never know.
Our building is also extremely, you know, it's old, and the square footage of rooms, like we are so much smaller, our rooms, than the rooms at one of the newer buildings. Like the elementary school room square footage is just quite a bit bigger than the high school square footage.
Right. Okay, we're going to take two more questions tonight.
Hi, everybody. Good evening.
Good evening.
So I hear a lot of talk about concerns, you know, IEP goals being met. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the virtual program, and I don't want those kids whose parents basically decide for them to be shortchanged in any way. So I think we need to revisit, for example, the 7X. I don't think the seventh graders coming in whose parents decide to go virtual should be penalized in any way and not have that opportunity to have 7X. So in that case, would you consider live streaming the 7X class so that those kids don't miss out on that opportunity? You know, I don't want them to be shortchanged. I'm just kind of wondering then, if the virtual kids are on, that means that they have a certified English teacher and then a different math teacher, science and social studies. Is that also correct?
Thank you. Question?
I think I'm a little confused by your question, JC.
Okay.
If you're asking, the students who are virtual will have teachers certified in the areas that they are teaching. We will not have people teaching out of certification, unless there was some, you know, really bizarre instance and we had to take advantage of the state's flexibility on that during that time. But we don't anticipate that at all. I will say to your question about streaming 7X versus a virtual class and in seventh grade math. I believe this honestly. I think we could do a better job in a virtual seventh grade math class that has a component of live face-to-face and a virtual piece. I think we could do a better job in that than how a student will do, only receiving instruction by watching a teacher teach to other children. That's just my personal feeling on that. I know other people feel otherwise, but I really believe that.
Okay. Next question. Hi, Ms. Post.
Hi, my question is, because I'm one of those parents that is still undecided on whether I'm sending my kids or keeping them home. These elementary school parents had since Monday night to think everything over. Would you consider extending the deadline to Monday so we could have the weekend to discuss it with our spouses that are still at work? Like, it's just we're being asked to make this decision in less than 24 hours. We got our meeting tonight. So I'm just feeling like we deserve a little bit more time to think about everything that's been said tonight.
I hear you.
So would you consider extending it till Monday morning? So at least we have, my husband's still at work. He can't even be here to listen. So I got to go over it with him and he's working tomorrow.
May I call you in the morning?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question. We'll take one more. We have Gino Halloran, who is our last, I'm sorry. We have two more people, and then we'll tie it up for tonight. Okay. Hello, good evening.
Hi, I'm an incoming senior, and I feel like grades are important in the college process. So how are we going to be graded, and what scale, and how are we going to make time for tests if we don't get that much class time?
Perfect question. Excellent. Thanks for asking that so much. We very much appreciate that. Good question.
So first off, you are in the same boat as every other high school senior across the country. So it's not like you're on an island that way. I will say that one thing that the staff wants to do, and it sounds like you want to do, is we want to elevate student responsibility for learning. And we can do that through specific structures. So it's called the stretch. So there's critical thinking, there's creativity, collaboration, communication. That's what we're looking to do in this model. And I mean, hybrid models, I mean, Harvard uses a hybrid model. So hybrid models are high on the effective list of instruction, very high. So I think learning's gonna be there, achievement's gonna be there. You don't really have to worry so much about your grade if you're taking the courses. So colleges, first of all, look at the course that you're taking. And you know, we're going back to a similar grading scale that you had in February. We will, but we're going to work our way there. You know, you missed some time, but we are going back to regular grading.
Thank you, Mr. Cerrone. We are going to take the last question for the evening. We've had some great questions tonight. And this is Gino Halloran. Oh, she's not able to get on. Okay, Ms. O'Halloran, if you want to either email any one of us tomorrow, that would be fine. Thank you, everybody, for these amazing questions tonight. We enjoy these nights also. You know, we hope we gave you the details, more details tonight that you had, you know, leading up to this evening's event. I want to thank all of our panelists with us tonight. You guys were very transparent and forthcoming. Again, you know, parents, we could not do this without you. You're our partners. We've been through a number of months together. It will go down in the record books for everybody involved in this, right? And we wish all of our students and our parents, no matter what you choose, you know, a wonderful and welcoming entrance to September. Please know you have smart people behind the decisions being made tonight. You met many of them tonight. online, feel free to reach out to any of them. Our doors are always opened. I want to thank everybody again for being here with us tonight. Please continue, you know, if you have any last minute emails, forward them and we'll be working with you. You'll also be getting a lot of information in the upcoming weeks. You know, school opening is a few weeks down the road, you know, and we'll be getting a lot out to you. So with that, I want to wish everyone a wonderful evening and stay well. Okay. Thanks again.
Everybody have a good night.
Good night.
Night.